This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. I invite you to be seated. So, we are in the Easter season, the season of resurrection, and yet our gospel text today is from Jesus' goodbye. If you were here the second Sunday of Easter, Pastor Brad first said Jesus gives a traditional Southern goodbye. You know, it goes on for like five chapters. So that's the farewell discourse, right? It takes a while. So we're right toward the beginning of that farewell discourse, and Jesus is letting the disciples know that he's not going to be with them in the same way anymore. But he's not hanging them out to dry. He's not leaving them empty-handed. And we have this foreshadowing of actually what will be our next couple of Sundays gospel readings. So next Sunday, we'll be celebrating the Festival of the Ascension. From the end of Luke, beginning of Acts, when Jesus ascends to go to the Father, post-resurrection. And then the following Sunday, 2 weeks from today, is Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is sent in and breathed upon these disciples and apostles. Jesus is preparing his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. He's preparing them to experience his ascension, to know that he's going to prepare a place for them and to prepare them for the continued promises and work of God in and among them. So Jesus, in way of preparing them for the Holy Spirit, charges them to keep his words. Jesus has had a lot of words up to this point, and he'll have more afterwards. To keep Jesus' words, to hold them, to guard them, to keep them near and dear to us. Jesus, who offered words of teaching, all who worship in spirit and truth are part of God's family. Jesus, who taught that to find your life, you've got to lose it. You've got to lay it down and take up the cross and follow Christ. Jesus, who taught that those who would seek to be first must put themselves last and serve all people. Jesus, who taught, love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus, who taught us what it means to live out God's commands and rule in our life. Jesus, who announced the coming of the kingdom of God, saying the reign of God is here. It has come near to you. It is at hand and among you. God's way of life, where all are welcomed, where there's abundant and everlasting life for all, it has come near. The time is fulfilled. Jesus, who offers words of forgiveness and healing, as he brings healing and peace and wholeness to those around him. Jesus, who looks at the woman bent over and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Jesus, who forgives the sins of those who come his way. And Jesus offers these words of identity to us. "You are my disciples. You are to love one another as I have loved you. You are loved by me," Jesus says. Jesus offers words of promise that the Holy Spirit is coming to you. Jesus offers promise that God has sent God's Son into the world because God so loves the world. And not to bring condemnation, but to bring everlasting and abundant life. When I think about keeping words, as still a relatively new parent, I think of all the things I say to my daughter that fall in some of these same patterns, like teaching her what's going on. She's 18 months old, almost 19 months old. And, teaching her about the world and about different things. And yet, wanting the words that she keeps with her for her entire life to be those words of blessing and assurance of identity that she is loved. And I wonder, when Jesus tells us to keep Jesus' words, of course he means all of them. To keep his commands and his teachings, and also to keep those ones near and dear about how much we are loved by God, about how we have all received grace upon grace from the fullness of God, as we hear in the first chapter of John's Gospel. So we hold not only these words that we are called to live out and obey, but also these words that call us. They call us. And Jesus says, "I will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit." And as he's preparing all of us, his disciples then and now, to receive this Holy Spirit, he reminds us that one of its functions is to advocate. To speak to speak on behalf of, to speak for. So I think of all the times, sometimes when you don't have words for a situation, there might be times of like unspeakable joy or silencing sadness. When prayer is what we're supposed to be doing, but so often our prayer is words and we don't have words. The Holy Spirit is advocate. The Holy Spirit comes and speaks for us and on our behalf. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and reminds us of the words of Jesus. To remind us of these words when we have forgotten them or forgotten to keep them, or when they have stopped keeping us. This advocate speaks to us and through us and for us. When we don't have the right words, or when we don't have words at all, this Holy Spirit is another outpouring of God's grace upon grace upon grace given for us. Jesus knows this is good news. He couches it already in there. He says, "You'll keep my words." And then he goes, "Oh, by the way, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to remind you of them." So that even as we forget, or we drop, or we feel incapable of these words, we receive more grace. The presence of the Holy Spirit. So we are prepared, a place is prepared for us and in us. God's word speaks to us again and again, that we might keep and follow and obey, that we might come into deeper relationship with God, and with one another. That we might have this peace that Christ gives in us, and it might well up so much within us that what we offer others is peace and love. All of this is grounded in loving relationship, which, by the way, is 3 weeks from now on Trinity Sunday. Because that's what God is. Three persons in loving relationship, sharing that love and relationship with others, bringing us in, reconciling the whole world to God's self, grounding us in that relationship, which is that first part of that process that leads us to the keeping of God's word and the receiving and knowing of the presence of the Spirit with us and within us. That we might continue to grow in faith and in love. That we might keep Jesus' words and that they might keep us. We know that we are beloved and we are called to be love. Amen.